So last time I was here, I forgot the title, but it's the same title, whatever. What was the last title? What was the last title I started? You can tell me later. Another Level, thank you. And we were dealing with the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and how God came to him and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. There's some things we need to do. And there's some things I need from you. And we went through all of that. I won't go through all of that again, but I just want to point out something. I want you to hear my heart. God laid down requirements for Joshua, right? I need you to lead these people, correct? I need you to go before them, and I will be with you like I was with Moses. But he gave him a requirement. What was the requirement? Only be strong and very courageous. So obedience all in that. I'm going to do this great thing. I have a requirement of you. Be strong and courageous. That means he's pointing out something that maybe Joshua, up until that point, he had fought battles, he had gone out, he was that dude, but obviously God was calling for a level of courage and strength that Joshua probably was not really submitted to yet or walking in yet. And Joshua probably was very comfortable in the level of A-kicking he was doing. But God was saying, now, I need some strength from you that don't require you getting a troop and some swords and going out and busting heads. I need a level of strength and courage from you that's on the inside, that in that area that nobody sees but me. I want you to lead my people as Moses did. I want you to step into a place. You've been a servant all these years and a warrior, and now I need you to step into the place of a leader, and that's going to require some kind of strength from you that's not vocal and big mouth, but hearts are exposed. Because when you go to these people, they could tell you to piss off. So now he's got to be concerned, are they going to receive me like they received Moses? And even if they do, I just want to make sure you understand something. Moses' life with these people wasn't a picnic. They went against him and built golden calves. They came and complained every time things didn't go their way. They asked for food. They got manna. This manna is detestable. We're disgusted with it. Can't you get us something else? You know, this wasn't a good, submitted, loving group. So when he said to Joshua, you're going to take it over, Joshua had all of that to consider. Remember, I need you to understand something. Joshua is one of the two that the people said, let's kill them when they want to go face the giants. Did you not know that? When the two of them said, we can defeat them, and the 10 said, we can't, and the crowds went with the 10, Joshua said, people, let's not do this. We can beat them with the Lord. And they said, let's stone them for having faith. Let's stone them for choosing to believe God. First of all, how dare you try to use a judgment that's supposed to be used for people who break the law of God on people who choose to believe God? What kind of evil spirits must be on these people? So when God said to Joshua, you're going to go lead these people, he didn't like, whoo, leadership, promotion. He was like, oh, like these people, golden calf, want to stone me, complain about everything, people. Now you understand why God had to say, but I need you to be strong and I need you to be courageous. I need you to be able to look at in the face of naysayers or those who disagree or those who don't want to stand by what you heard me say and still be strong. You're not a leader and you got to stand in front of people and lead, and those people look at you with a funny look or push back. If you're not a leader, your first response is to cower. I watch a lot of you that show yourself strong and act like you got strength and usually have the biggest mouths. The moment that you get pushed back or corrected or chastised, you run off in the corner and cry and feel sorry for yourself because you're not really a leader. See, a leader got to stand in your face and say, I hear you and what you say hurts, but I still know what God said. All of me just melted by what you just said. But the God in me, go to Florida. You don't think I got it? You sure? You sure that's the Lord? Talk to the hand. Watch me leave. Watch me leave. I got the tears for you, sure? This is going to be so, I'm going to miss you so much. Well, you get over it. Can I tell you something? I'm not trying to be a smart ASS, but can I tell you something? Did you know the people who whine and complain the most don't even call me? How you doing down there? When I was laying up fighting COVID for 2 weeks, you know my phone didn't ring one time? I'm just saying, you can't be moved by the face and the minds and the mouths of the people. And that's why God said, be strong and courageous. And what is that statement? It's an obedience statement. I need you to obey my leading over the reaction. Yeah, they might not respond favorably, but I want you to do it anyway. Yeah, your outcome may go the opposite way that you hoped it was going and it looked like it was going if you obey me, but I still need you to do what I said. When the fork in the road splits and it looks like everybody you were walking with is going this way and I'm telling you to go this way, I still need you to do it. Oh, you don't want to have this conversation. I'm sending you out there where you don't know anybody. To start a life and you don't even know what that life is. You don't do that at 62 and leave everything you have and built over the past 20, 30 years, 40 years behind, unless you believe you've heard. You think the devil was like, good job. He was telling me all the way there, you an idiot, you stupid, this is going to go horribly wrong. Everything, this, I'm going to get you out there and mess you up. And when the COVID thing hit, he was like, yeah, see, I told you, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get you. You watch what I'm going to do. And I did die that weekend. Because when I awoke that next day and I was still here, I knew something. My life would never be the same again. God called Joshua to step into a place of a person that he served. He wasn't his vice president. He was the go put some gas in my car and feed my camel and take it through the car wash and whatever. That's what he did. He was his servant, which is another place of obedience. Because church folk don't like submission. They like promotion. So Jeff said something as he wrapped up today, and it sparked my spirit. I know I'm supposed to be getting all of my verses, but we'll get there. We'll get there. Just be patient. Jeff said, God's love is unconditional. You need to receive God's unconditional love. Jeff is absolutely right. But his promises are conditional. And that's where you'll screw it up. Because you think because he loved you, he just give you whatever you want. The promises are conditional. They're all yay and amen. But they're conditional. Not because he's trying to be mean. He's saying the place that you live, the place that you're behaving, the place you're acting from, the promises are not over there. That flesh reaction, how you deal with emotional, everything what Jeff was saying today, all of that stuff that you're living out of, it may keep you alive in your world, but my promises are not there. My blessings, think about it, emotions, feelings, getting upset, attitude, that's all in self-protection. That's all in the flesh realm. God's like, I need you to step into this realm where you die to self. Emotions, feelings, attitude, opinion, self. He who keeps his life shall lose it. He who loses his life for my sake gains this life. So it's a practice, an ongoing practice of saying no to my own flesh. We're trying to figure out how to get an attitude and say no to everybody else. The premise is we got to learn how to say no to this person. That person we live in, who keeps screaming and yelling and kicking his feet and throwing tantrums and whining and having fits because I want what I want. Even down to the food I put in my mouth. But my flesh loves that. So it took me passing out in the middle of my floor in the living room a couple of years ago, and the doctors diagnosing me with high blood pressure and giving me drugs that I'll have to take for the rest of my life, for me to go, okay, I can't keep listening to you. I have to die to self. But I like that. I craved it. Okay. I ain't getting on nobody. I'm trying to help. God knows I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to help these lies. When God called Joshua, he called him to step into something that was unfamiliar to him, leadership. Very familiar vicariously, he watched Moses. And then God had to say to him, but not like he led, because you see where his leadership led him. People get upset when you talk about Moses, but Moses had a very emotional led leadership, and that's why he wound up missing the promised land and being left out, because God couldn't get him out of himself, even though he was called to lead. And nobody want to hear this. You think just because you called to lead and the anointing is on you to lead that it automatically qualifies you for all the blessings of God, and I'm here to tell you it's total BS. So I'm a different person now. People come, you know, I learned from, and I got it, you know, God showed me, and spare me. Let the fruit speak for you. Stop talking so much. I got a revelation, whatever. Whatever. Let the fruit speak. I told all the money every day, I said, you see where you're sitting right now and swimming in and eating in? My fruit. That's because you got money. I didn't spend a dime. They gave me 2 months rent free to move in the place. I didn't have to put no down, no month's rent or month security. How is it my money that did it? God did all of that. All of that. It cost me gas and toll. This is the life that God has designed for us. But dying to self is tantamount. And being willing to step into places that your flesh is not comfortable or your mind is also so important. So now let's get to the scriptures again. Because God called Joshua, and I'm not going to read the whole thing again because we did it. But after the death of Moses, God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, you get these people ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. So something hit me. I'm about to give it. I give you every place where you put the sole of your feet, as I promised Moses. Huge statement. Read that line I just said. Out loud. Okay. Look at me real quick. Look at me. Lord, let their spirits understand this. How many of you have put your feet anywhere? I ain't talking about your mouth. I ain't talking about your confession. I ain't talking about your claim. How many of you put your, I ain't talking about your intercessory group. What possession has God lead you to put your feet in and you've gone out and done it? That's the answer I was looking for. I had to go put my feet in Florida. I couldn't claim it into my bedroom. I couldn't claim it on my living room couch and it just popped up. Nobody called me up and said, it's a miracle. Guess what? We felt in our spirit, we're a real estate agency and you're looking for a place. We have one in Florida. Come on down. God said, go down, take a vacation. I didn't see it coming. One thing to another, and within 5 days, I had a home. Fully furnished. Where are you putting your feet? Church people want to pray. You're not catching it. When Nellie came to me with the business, she had a salon. It failed. But she had one. She put her foot somewhere. She went out there and she built it. Her work ethic was A1. Her business acumen was near zero. When COVID hit and everything shut down, she just got her apartment the first month, correct? God just moved. You got your place, and now you can't pay your rent. Landlord still want his rent. COVID don't make money instantly go into his account. What should we do? The Lord said, put a chair right there, put a sink in the bathroom, and let her keep working. Boom. Huh. Then the Lord spoke to me, put a salon back there. And I came to Nelly with the revelation. God told me to clear out the conference room, turn it into a tree chair salon. She said, oh, that's nice. Praise God. I receive it. She kept doing hair. She came in 2 days later, the conference room was cleared out, and I was already in there ripping up the carpet. And she was like, I didn't know you meant like right now. I'm like, I don't play. Because obedience needs to be instant. I got the word. I don't play. It wasn't just cleaning the room. I had to run electrical. I had to bring people to come and do work. I had to hire electricians to run from this box to that box across the basement or way up the wall and run, put new outlets in and blah, 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 blah. I had to do all of that. And had the shop up, open, and running in 3 weeks. She said, it took me like 3 or 4 months. I said, every business I've done before this has taken me that long. We had this building that took 4 months before we could get in here. And we had to get in still with the bare floor because there was no carpet or nothing yet. And I said, God, I hope you're listening to me. I see something. There's that thing. Will we do the thing that you've called us to do with mostly flesh and some instruction from you that moseys along? And then there's this thing we do in total surrender that happens like that. So I'm on an accelerated pace right now. In my mind, after that, I was like, oh, so this is how you flowing? What more do I need to surrender? Not what more do I need to claim. What more do I need to lay down? Why you think the word came? Prosperity in obedience. How else do I need to be obedient? How much less do I need to be right? God had me apologize to somebody. I don't feel like I did anything wrong to them. But he said, but do it because I want you to. You got it. And the doors just keep opening. I want to die to self. Quickly. Give him praise for that. I'm about to give it to them, he said. I'm about to do this thing. And I will give you every place where you will put the sole of your feet. You got to put your feet in it. You can't keep sitting in your room praying. There needs to be something that God has given you that you are pushed forward into. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You want to be a better singer? You taking classes? You want to be a better driver? Are you practicing with somebody or learning? You want to be a better hairdresser, rocket builder? I don't care what it is. I'm expecting God to promote me to the top of business. What are you doing to perfect yourself in the area of business? Are you studying? Are you being mentored and coached? Where's your feet? Where's your feet? He's only giving you what you put your feet in. He didn't say he's giving you what you put your hands on. You know that that's what the church believes. Whatever I put my hands to should prosper. That don't mean it's yours. You just put your hands on it. It may prosper. I've done it. I put my hands on things and they prospered and sailed on without me. You put your feet in it, it ain't going nowhere without you. Amen. If you step in it, you're in it. This is a flashback. I never forget this. Fontaine and I talk about it from time to time. He was believing. He was called. God gave me the word for him. He was called to be in management. He had gone to school for forensic medicine. God said, no, you're an administrator. Told him that. He didn't like that. He's trying to get a job in pet land because he wanted to be into that. Nope. Your call is administrative. He decided he was stepping out. He took some studies. He took some classes with no skill and no actual experience. He went for that job, if you remember, in McDonald's as a manager. They took him back and forth and back and forth. They finally said to him, you can have the job as manager, but you have to work Sundays. He said, absolutely not. I'm not giving up my Sundays. They said to him, fine, then we can't make you a manager, but you can be assistant manager, and it's less pay. And he came to me, and he was distraught. He was upset. He was angry. He stood by the principles that God told him to stand by. He was obedient, but the outcome seemed to go against him. Well, first of all, the fact that they're even willing to offer you an assistant manager's job and you have no skill in this area is just huge. But we can get caught up. He said, I'm just going to believe God. I'm not going to take the job. What do you think? I said, absolutely not. You're going to take the job. But it's not what I was believing for. Church people, when we're ignorant and we don't understand. I said, so you're going to claim the land from outside instead of getting in the land and claiming it? Take the job, you're in there. Then claim your position from the inside. Get in the land. No, it ain't what God said. I ain't got nothing. Okay, but he was smart enough to get counsel, and he followed that counsel. He was working there for 3 months, and they promoted him to manager. And he still had his Sundays off. And wound up getting more pay than what they originally were going to offer him because it was a promotion. God likes doing stuff like that. Why don't we let him? I'll be quiet for a minute on that one. God loves doing stuff like that. Why don't we let him? He He's not saying, well, I'm going to do this for Diamond because he's some special kind of something, something. It's because I'm learning to let him. Just keep my hands out of it, put my hand in my back pocket, tie them if I need to. Go here, yes, sir. Go here, that's not a good idea. But I'm going to go anyway. I don't think that's a good idea. I have several situations that God has told me to do stuff. He said Miami. I was like, maybe Fort Lauderdale. It's quieter. It's just too noisy over here. I thought you wanted to be where the action was. You can do business. Then I tried to pick a little low-level apartment because I don't want to spend too much money. He said, so when you have a meeting with your executives and people you want to meet with, you want to invite them to this here. As soon as you walk in the room, open the door, your bed's right there. I can invite anybody to where I live now on any level. And they would walk in like everybody who else has, and it hasn't been just your, I've invited people. And they've walked in and went, wow, this is really nice. It's just something about this place. I don't know why I feel such a peace. And God showed me the other day, it's not the place, it's you. It's the anointing that's on you that when you go, the spirit of peace with you. Add that to all the beauty and splendor that's there, and it's a real nice surrounding. Go put your feet in it. If you believe God called you to do it, go put your feet in it. Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to move. Okay. I've seen people like you for 20 and 30 years. Waiting for the Lord to move as if he's not. Dang, I thought I would be so much further past this. So, he goes on to say, I would never leave you nor forsake you as you get down toward the bottom of this now. I'm going to move on. Verse 6. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? No one else will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or
forsake.
Say it again. Say it again.
I will never leave you or forsake.
How many of you like that statement? It's there. But it goes with the condition again. Like I said, his love is unconditional. But his promises, they have conditions. They have requirements. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people inherit the land as I swore to the ancestors to give them. And then he says it again. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to
obey.
Be careful to
obey.
Be careful to
obey.
Be careful to
obey.
What does that mean? No. No. Thank you. Sophie's getting it. Come on, baby. Be careful. It's a sentence. What does that mean? To obey. He didn't just say, obey me. He said, be careful to obey. Come on, saints. Stop reading, looking over this, these power statements. Be careful to obey. Word I gave Esther, stay humble, stay grateful, watch yourself. Put care and attention into being obedient. Don't just obey because it's the law and I don't want to get in trouble. Be mindful about it. Put attention to obedience. Well, it says don't go there, so I'm not going there. No, let your heart be committed to that obedience.
Amen.
Be careful to obey. Be mindful about it. Put some thought and heart into your obedience like you do into claiming what you're claiming.
Amen. Yeah.
Be careful to obey. Do it with some real heart. Some real commitment. Be careful with your children. Be careful how you cross that street. That means don't just run out there even if the light's green. Look around. Be careful to be obedient. Put some heart and thought into it. Don't just do it. Do it with your heart. I want to focus on my obedience. I don't want to just do it. I want to do it with a loving commitment to it. Am I talking to you today? Is it helping? Be careful to be obedient. Be careful to obey. Why would he say that to him? Because Moses just lost the prize. Moses forfeited the prize. God still calls him a great man and all that stuff, but he didn't get the prize because he wasn't okay. He wasn't careful to be obedient. God said, speak to the rock. He struck it. And he struck it like this. God said, this time when you want water, speak to the rock. See, I don't understand if you understand. Before, God told him to smite the rock. God gave him an instruction. Smite the rock. That's the law. Bam! Do this. Now, this time, God said, get the people in front of you and speak to the rock. Who's the rock? So now he's saying, now, I don't want you doing this legal thing. Oh, you ain't ready for me. I want you to now have a relationship where you can speak to the rock. And he hit him anyway because that's what he know how to do. That's like back in the beginning when he saw a guy mistreating the Israelite and he killed him. See, that was in his nature. I get what I want by rule. You got to remember, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. He saw many off with your heads. So that's the way he knew how to deal with things legally. God said, I want you to speak to the rock. And the rock would give forth water. And he got to the rock and he let his frustration for the people take advantage of him and lead him over the instruction or the obedience to what God told him. And he got to the rock and he looked at the people and said, how many times must I demonstrate for you? And God said, and because of that, you are going to die and you will not enter my kingdom, because it was your time to show the people the relationship of God and not the law of God. And you chose the law of God over the relationship with God and you missed it. You weren't careful to obey what I told you to do. Well, I hit it before and it worked. I'm going to hit it again. I told them off before and they heard it. And God said, no, this time love them. Apologize. Say something nice. No, I'm going to smite them again. It worked last time. And miss everything God was going to do for you in that situation. Obedience requires you to be mindful. You can obey the law or you can obey his spirit. It gets real. Be careful to obey the law of my servant Moses I gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or the right. See, that's all about. Be mindful about this. That you may be what? Successful. That you may be what? Successful. Where? Wherever. How many of you want to be successful wherever you go? Amen. I'm feeling that really like in my mind for like the second time when he said go to the Poconos. I didn't know nobody in the Poconos. I'm going to the Poconos for it just because I told you to. And I wrestled with him all the way up there and all the way through and went through one change after another and finally kind of landed somewhere. Now this time he said, go. I said, all right, okay. And don't take any of this, any of that. Just okay. and I'm watching, and I'm practicing every day. God, my emotions still come at me. People say things, do things. Things just don't go the way I thought they should. God said, I told you when I sent you out here, I don't want you looking at any of these people that you know for your success. It's going to come through me. If I choose to use them, I will, but I do not want you focusing on them. And I've been very careful to stay with that word. And I've had opportunities come, oh, we could do this and we could do this. I'm like, oh, this is God. God, is this it? He said, careful. Careful. Well, I'm just asking you if this is it. He said, wait long enough, you'll see. Watch the tree. It'll show if it got fruit or not. Don't put no hopes in it. Don't build no bridges around it. Just watch. Be still. You'll see. Careful. And you will be successful wherever you go. Do you think that this is a God that wants you fasting and praying and believing and crying and standing at the edge of the abyss about to fall in and for him to barely throw you a cookie so you can get through the night? You shake your head no, but in the inside you need to check that belief because you believe that if your fruit shows that. I always go by the fruit now. Everything for me is fruit. It's like, show me fruit. I believe this. Where's the fruit of that? Right. There should be fruit. You should believe it. If you believe it, it should be fruit. Amen. That's even my requirement to myself. I'm checking things that I thought I believed and go, so where's the fruit? I guess you don't really believe that, do you? So be careful to obey. So I'm going, okay, what I believe. And I'm starting to come to the understanding now. He wants me to prosper wherever I go. He wants that. Say it. Say it again. Say it one more time. He wants me to prosper wherever I go. But I must be careful to obey. Don't keep mixing your thing in with his thing. He don't need your help and assistance, and he don't need your schemes. Verse, I think it's 9. Yeah, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Do not be discouraged, right? Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Look how many times he's saying that. He must really like that and mean something about that. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will go with you wherever you go. There he is saying it again. I will not leave you or forsake you. But there's a requirement for that. Be strong. Be courageous. Let's talk about that real quick and let's bring it home on this. Be strong. Be courageous. You ready? Every time he says it, it's a be statement. Be strong. Be courageous. He said it again and again. Speak to the rock, smite the rock. Obey the law, obey the spirit. Be strong, feel strong. I know that went right over some of your head. He didn't say feel strong. Be. So being strong and feeling strong, then obviously are two different things. Feeling strong is in that flesh realm. It's in that emotional realm. It's in that realm of can I not? Let me ask my cousin, let me ask my mother, let me ask my friends, let me get all the intercessors to pray and see if I can make myself feel strong. Be strong is just be it no matter what the circumstances say. Why do you think he said don't be discouraged? Because he's telling you, no, discouragement will come. The enemy's not taking a day off when you try to go do what God is telling you to do. Somebody's going to resist you. Somebody's going to try to shoot you down. Somebody's going to speak negative about it. Somebody might even try to set up things to keep you from doing it. Be strong. Be. I don't care what you feel. Just be it. I don't care how it looks. Be it.
Amen.
Be it. So I realize me being strong has nothing to do with me feeling strong. Me being courageous has nothing to do with me feeling courageous. Feeling courageous makes me decide if I want to go forward or not. Being courageous makes me decide I'm going forward. Or are you ready for me right now? Being strong and being courageous makes me decide no matter what I feel. I don't care if I have got the runs and my stomach is quaking and I feel like I'm going to puke. I'm going forward with it. It'll be a trail, but I'm on my way. Gross picture, but hey, if it helps it stick in your head, amen, let's roll with it. I'm going forward. I'm going forward. So, I remember when I was dealing with the final throes of the COVID thing. And I was upset about that because, like, I don't get sick. God, I don't get sick. I ain't been sick in years. What the heck? And so for a while, I was wrestling with it, just really upset about the fact that it happened, that I wasn't even thinking about my deliverance. I was focusing on where I was and why I was there and how I felt about it, feeling realm. Oh, you don't want to have this conversation. I'm a man of faith. It's supposed to happen to me. God, I don't know what I can't be. I can't be mad at you. I can't be mad at you. Let me be mad at myself. What did I do wrong? What did I miss you? How did I let the door open? What did I do? You know, all that in that emotion junk. And it just lingered. And one day God spoke to me. He said, be healed. Why are you focusing on that? Stop praying to be healed and just be healed. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, begin to speak what I've said, not what you see. You know this is elementary. This is Christianity 101. This is faith class 101. Why are you speaking the result and instead of speaking the promise? Whose report shall you believe? Your body's report? See, we say the doctor's report. No, your own body, your own mind's report. Which report are you going to believe in? God said, I want you to wake up every day and not only say you healed, say you are the source and a fountain of healing to others.
Amen.
Healing to, he said, you stand there and preach to them. If you make water, Poland Springs is not thirsty. The people who work there, there's water all the time. He said, if you are a fountain of healing, just like you have the pantry, there's always food down there. If you're a fountain of healing and healing is flowing through you, then you don't need to be seeking healing. And I started speaking. I am the source of healing. I'm whole. My shadow passing people gets them healed. I begin to speak it and life returned to my body. My God, what are you focusing on? All the things I feel. Be. I feel weak. Be strong. I feel afraid. Be courageous. Bible says fear not. It didn't say physical effects not. It didn't say tremble not, shake not, tremble not. It said fear not. Meaning don't surrender to the emotions. Stay with the purpose. Be obedient to the charge. The charge is to be strong and very courageous. Meaning what? Even with the guns aimed at me, I'm going forward. If you told me to do it, I'm doing it. And it's your job to keep me. So in my final statement for today, you loving the Lord right now? There's a reason he needs you to do that. Because he wants you to be successful wherever you go. So yes, the love is without condition, but the promises have a requirement. And the requirement is that you be obedient. And I will end it with saying, instantly obedient. And so many of you right here in this house, believing faith people, that I'll come to you and say, you need to stop doing this or you need to take a stand for this. And you say, well, I'm going to pray about it. One more night with the frogs. Let me just. Well, if it's the word and you know what I'm saying is the word, why don't you just say, I accept that. That's mine. I receive that. I need to pray about it. No, you need to receive it and then go pray about what you received. Let me pray, God, will just help me. Help me not do that. Help me. God, like, I can't help you not do that. You got to decide to not do that. God, why hold on to it? Can you pry my hands off, oh God? No. You have a free will. Decide to let it go. I'll get rid of it for you. That's like asking the garbage man, why you ain't come in my house and bring my garbage out? You got to put it out on the curb. I'll take it away. Thank you, baby. That just came to me just then. He ain't coming in your house to get your garbage. You don't care how bad it stinks. Bring it outside and I'll take it away. It's your garbage until you put it outside. Then it's mine. Whew. I like that, Father. Don't pray about it. Don't fast or do any of that until you make a decision. Make a decision to be strong. Make a decision to be courageous. Make a decision to be free. Make a decision to treat your obedience like it's your baby. Careful with it. Treat it with love and honor. Don't just do it because you have to. You ever meet them parents that you can see they wish they didn't have a child? Oh, everything the child does. The child says, Mom, what do you want? Sad that child's growing up with the understanding that he's an annoyance. Treat him with care. Treat that obedience like it's precious. Be careful with it. He said, I want you to be successful wherever you go. I had a whole nother verse I want to do today. We'll do it next week. But my God, you can make note of it so you can read it in advance of Psalms 21. So you can be ready in advance. I am done for today.